Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our epistle lesson out of Ephesians chapter 3, and especially these words. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that you may know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Thus far the text, my dear friends in Christ. In 1983, 72-year-old Forrest Lunway was set up on a date by his friends with 62-year-old Rose Pollard. The date went well enough, but at the end of it, Rose communicated to Forrest that she really only wished to be friends. Forrest was disappointed but not deterred. For the next 20 years, he courted Rose, driving the 40 miles from his house to her house once, twice, sometimes three times a week. Finally, in 2003, after 20 years of courtship and him being 92 years old and her now 82 years old, he proposed marriage. She expressed to him that while she had appreciated all of his efforts toward her, that she was not yet ready to marry. But she made him a promise. If he lived to be 100 years old, they would get married. In 2011, they were wed. At 100 years old and 90 years old. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Love will do that. Marilyn Monroe died in 1962. She'd only been married to Joe DiMaggio for one of her very brief years of life. But from 1962 till 1982, three times a week, Joe DiMaggio had a dozen long-stem red roses sent and put beside her grave for 20 years. He loved her. In 1631, the wife of the Indian emperor died, giving birth to their 14th child. The emperor was so distraught over the loss of his wife that he built her the most magnificent tomb. You know what it is, though you may not really know. The Taj Mahal, one of the most magnificent buildings in the world, is actually a tomb built in honor of the emperor's wife because he loved her so much. Now, I know what's happening right now. All the wives are nudging their husbands, and all the husbands are going, "Pastor, why did you bring any of that up?" Because love is a grand thing. Love is a magnificent thing. It's a wonderful thing. And if our earthly love can manifest itself in 20 years of courtship by a 72-year-old man, in a dozen red roses three times a week by somebody who's dead for 20 years, for somebody who's dead for 20 years, and the magnificent building of a tomb in honor of a loved one like the Taj Mahal, how magnificent must love be? And if you take that grand, great picture of love, of earthly love, of marital love, and now think of it as but a tiny speck in the grass sand desert of God's love. Think of it as but a tiny drop in the grand ocean of the amount that God loves you. How humbling is that? How amazing is that? It's beyond our comprehension. And because it's beyond our comprehension, Paul wants to try in some way to convey it to us in Ephesians 3. That's what the whole thing is. If you want to take that whole Ephesians 3 passage that I read earlier and you want to put it into a one-line synopsis, here it is. Paul prays that you might know the love of Christ. Now, Paul can never say anything that briefly, right? And so whether you realize it or not, verses 14 through 19 of chapter 3 of Ephesians are all one sentence. Hear it again. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That was all one sentence. My English teacher would have written up my paper with large red marks. But it's the way Paul speaks. This morning in the Bible study, I started off the class going through this particular reading. And I don't know if you ever had to do this when you were in school, but I always had to diagram sentences, especially in my Greek classes. And when you're approaching Paul, sometimes you have to muddle through all that other stuff to get to his main point. And so if you remember what diagramming sentences looks like, you put the main sentence right at the top, right on a line, and you divide it up with the subject, the verb, and the direct object. And so in this, the main subject, the main line is, I bow my knees. Paul prays. And he prays for all that would read this letter, all that would hear his words. And what does he pray for? Well, if you sort through all those next five verses, you come to a bunch of things, but his main point in all of that is, I pray that you might know the breadth, the height, the depth, and the strength of the love of Christ. And it's hard for us to know the love of God and the love of Christ. Remember where we began talking about those three wonderful stories of love and what they were in comparison to the love of God? Paul realizes it's a hard thing for us to get our minds around, to understand just how big God's love for you is. And so he attempts in some way, in his own verbose way, to lay it all out for you. But you and I have a hard time seeing the love of God, understanding it. And if it isn't hard enough that we, in our feeble humanness, can't understand the depth, the breadth, the strength, and the height of God's love, we also have this difficulty that everything in our human lives, our fallen world, fights against us understanding it, pushes back on us understanding it, causes us to doubt it. There's all the things you experience in everyday life. All the adversities spoken of in our colloquy for today. Financial difficulties. Health difficulties. Emotional, relational difficulties and sorrow. And all these things pile up and they become this obstacle to you understanding the breadth of God's love. You can't see God's love because all this stuff is right in front of you every day. There's another bill. There's another medical diagnosis. There's another problem. There's another argument. There's another this and another that. And it fights. Fights against your understanding of the love of God. And if all of that weren't enough, the adversities that you go through and the difficulties, there's your own mind which gets in the way. Because your own mind, brings to your remembrance those words you said to your spouse you shouldn't have said. That fudging you did on that form because you didn't want to tell the whole truth. The difficulties of your children and your inability to relate to them. All the different sins, all the different little things in our lives fight against us knowing the depth of God's love because they bring us to mind of how truly fallen, how truly sinful we are. And what happens as we're swallowed up in that mud and muck and mire of our sin is we said, how could God possibly love me? I mean, look at me. But he does. But you have all these obstacles in the way. The vastness of God's love making it hard for you to comprehend. The adversities you're going through in all of life, these obstacles that get in the way of us seeing the breadth of God's love. And within, and deeply within, 3 a.m. within, as you lie awake thinking about these things, your own sinfulness interferes. And so you need reminders. Maybe Paul's verbosity, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to make it up. His verbosity of words is given to make you have to think more deeply about it. Maybe his making you trudge through those 6 verses is deliberate on his part because you have to concentrate and think about what is Paul telling me? Oh, the love of God. God wants you to know his love. He wants you to know the depth of his love, the breadth, the height, the strength of his love. And he desires that you be reminded of it. You and I all know that the primary place and the primary way we know that God loves us is that he sends his son to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. It is at the cross, it is at Calvary that God's love is put on full display and that we know exactly how much he loves us, that he would sacrifice his own son for us. But sometimes I think that that eternal event, while still applying to us and still delivering to us forgiveness of sins and eternal life, seems distant and far away, and that distance, that history, creates a fogginess to where we're not able to see God's love purely. God knows that as well. God knows that the story of Christ on the cross becomes a little repetitive to us because we hear it again and again. You hear it every week that I preach. I tell you the same thing. Christ crucified and risen for your eternal life. And if I don't say that some week, you come to me and say, Pastor, you screwed up today. You didn't tell us about that. Even still, it gets foggy, and we need reminders. But our God's a gracious God. Our God's a giving God, and he desires to give us again and again reminders of his love, not only in the cross and resurrection, the primary place and exhibition of his love, but in other places. Here in the church as we gather, and we receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It is truly Christ's body and blood, and we receive real forgiveness in it, but it is also a reminder of God's love for you. As we receive this bread, as we take this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, God's love for us. We sing hymns, songs that remind us of God's love. The hymn we just sang for the sermon, isn't that a beautiful hymn? What wondrous love is this? Something incomprehensible to us. We receive reminders through those who sit with us in the pews. My brothers and sisters in Christ are not just gathered here, so I'm not singing a solo. They're gathered here because they too know the love of Christ. They too know God's love and forgiveness and redemption and salvation. And as they gather around me, I'm reminded in their very presence that God loves. There are lots of reminders in our hour together today of God's love. But it's not just here. God, in his abundant desire for you to know the vastness of his love, has provided reminders of his love even out there in the seemingly, underline seemingly secular world. God has established the union of husband and wife, and Paul takes that in Ephesians 5, right? And he says that this demonstrates and reminds us of love, of Christ's love for his church. How many of you had either coffee or something to eat this morning? You're all not raising your hand. Lutherans, we're going to raise about this high. You've all had something. God has provided for you something to eat or to drink or to sustain yourself. That isn't happenstance. That's the providence of God. It is God's love. And we can continue on through the world and mark all these things that happen in your life that God provides for you, food and shelter and clothing and people and spouses and children, and all these things become for us reminders of God's love, and we need them. Because as I said before, the obstacles of adversities, our own fallenness and sinfulness, and the sheer vastness of God's love make it difficult for us to comprehend. But God's desire for you, and the writing of Paul in Ephesians here, is that you be reminded of his love. That you might know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what sorrows you're facing, no matter what adversity has come in your way, you are loved. You are loved by God. You are loved in Christ who gave himself for you. You are loved. And there could be nothing better. There's a reason we start with children. And we start with the very first thing we teach them being, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We don't start with children and say, but you're justified by grace through, right? It's a little hard. But it also doesn't encompass the kernel of what they need to know. The thing that they need to be reminded of throughout their lives, the thing you need to be reminded of throughout your life, God loves you. Never forget it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.